Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us to co-host, as he typically does, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
He's all choked up being with us today.
I'm glad to be here. Tim, how are you?
Well, you okay?
Barely.
Okay. Fred Jackson's here. Good morning, Fred. You okay,
Feeling
Fred?
Feeling good. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a little worried about Ray.
Well, it sounded like it went down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
There for a minute. But anyway. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Lots to talk about today. Sandy Rios will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. And, well, she had an interview last Friday, it was, with a Google...
Whistleblower.
Whistleblower. I guess a Google insider. Former or?
Former.
Okay, yeah. So we will find out what he had to say about that company, and that's coming up. Fred, a lot of folks, a lot of conservatives, suspicious to say the least. I don't even know it's suspicion anymore, right? Complaints about the, I guess you could say, discriminatory.
Political bias.
Of the big social media giants?
Yes, sir. And how they do it. I mean, with this artificial intelligence today. And for example, and this person talked about this, my wife and I were standing in a kitchen last night, and we mentioned a certain big box store, and her phone was sitting there, and it gave the address. It just, the phone spoke up, gave the address of the big box store here in Tupelo.
Without you directing comments to it?
No, we were just talking. We're talking about Walmart.
So it was listening.
It was listening to us, and we're continuing the conversation. And all of a sudden, the phone starts talking and gives the address.
That's
you know,
that's bizarre.
That was a poor Twilight Zone. I gotta admit, but that's what I was thinking. That ever happened to you, Ray?
It has happened a bunch of times where Marlene and I will be just talking about something. And then suddenly Facebook will bring up an ad for it or a link to it. How is that possible? Who's listening on the other end? That's what I want to know.
And where were you? Just in your home?
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, come on, Ray.
No, serious? It's true. It's absolutely true.
No. This is true. They've had to explain, and Apple, I think, too, has had to defend or give you options to shut the microphone off on your computer. Because they said, well, if you don't click this little box, yes, it will listen.
Yeah, you have to opt out.
You have to opt out.
You're automatically opted in by the company.
Right.
And if you have this Alexa, it's by definition, it's listening all the time, right? I mean, that's how it works.
Yes, because you have to, when you address it and say, Alexa, you know, do such and such, it has to be listening in order to respond to the name Alexa.
Right. I mean, there may not be a human being on the other end, but electronically, it's paying attention to everything that's said in the room.
Now, okay, I'm going to try to be as delicate here as I can. Which one of these spy agencies, okay, by that I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, Amazon, Google, all of them, Facebook. Which one of them had to apologize because they were recording without the knowledge of the people at home intimate relations between you guys know what I'm saying? What was it?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Brent, go ahead, jump in.
It was Apple with Siri. Siri was listening in on conversations at home.
And not just conversations.
Right.
Okay, so they had to apologize because there were, in that case, human beings who were going over Siri's recordings and were listening in on adults, married adults, being conjugal. I mean, this is bizarro world, folks.
Well, All right. Speaking of how people can listen and watch our show, Ed, why don't you tell them?
Nice segue.
Yeah, it's very nice. If you would, like to have your conversations at home recorded, then go to Facebook. You can. I'm sorry. All right. So
I had to ask you that sometime. I usually ask you right off the bat, but
Facebook or YouTube, and search for today's issues, and you can watch the show. That's what you're doing on your end. I won't tell you what we're doing on our end as you watch the show. Just type in today's issues, and you can watch us online.
On Facebook or YouTube.
YouTube,
right?
That is correct.
Okay. Fred, what lead us off here.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
As long as Donald Trump is president of the United States, there will always be news.
Duly
and
noted.
More news than you can shake a stick at.
Right.
All right. So here we go today. Up in Washington, D.C., the State Department did a stop on allowing Gordon Sondland, the U.S. European Union ambassador, to appear before Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee. President Trump giving the reason why. Quote, I would love to send Ambassador Sondland, a really good man and great American, to testify, but unfortunately he would be testifying before a totally compromised kangaroo court where Republicans' rights have been taken away and true facts are not allowed out for the public to see. That's what the President Trump said on Twitter this morning. Of course, Adam Schiff does believe that the conversation between President Trump and the newly elected leader of the Ukraine back in July of this year was a quid pro quo thing. In other words, he is still out there with the narrative, despite the release of the transcript of that telephone call, that Trump was trying to get dirt, the way the Democrats put it, on Joe Biden.
You know, there's something to the president's comment here, and that is because on this Judiciary Committee, they are not allowing Republicans I don't think they're even allowing them to ask questions, right? When someone comes before that committee, and they certainly can't subpoena their own witnesses. So this is what the president's hammering.
And on another vein, you have now a lineup apparently developing of whistleblowers, and they want to keep these whistleblowers who they are a secret to the extent that the Democrats are suggesting we'll put them in another room and we'll change their voice. So, I mean, you could have 30, 40, 50 people just come in saying I'm a whistleblower and the Republicans aren't told who this person is.
This is strange because, I agree with, and if I'm talking too much, we got Ray too. In general, I agree that if somebody has knowledge of something illegal, they have to be able to, you know, to get that information out. But at the same time, if you're going to accuse the president of something that they want to say is impeachable, you have to be able to go after the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you even know these whistleblowers are real people?
Exactly.
I'm saying that we're in the White House.
I think Rand Paul had it right, Senator from Kentucky. If something's going to rise to the level of impeachment and removing the president from office, he has a right to, as they say, face his accuser.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, fine. You could set up a situation, couldn't you, where you said, I'm just thinking out loud here, Ed, but you could say something like, okay, we'll guarantee the whistleblower won't lose his job.
Yes.
But he or she still has to come forward and be questioned openly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, quite frankly, Fred, Ed, and Ray, have we already seen all the evidence by the phone call that the president released from the White House about this? Do we need?
Yeah, what are they blowing the whistle on?
What more is there to say? Either you believe that is an impeachable offense, what the president did there, or not.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well mm-hmm. I've heard lots of people saying, well, what are they blowing the whistle on?
Yeah. But you know, it was interesting, just a few moments ago, Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee was on Fox, and she brought up a very good point. It is the raison d'etre of the Democratic Party right now to create chaos. And she made an interesting statement. She said, this follows the rules for radicals in action. That would be Saul Alinsky. Here's what she had to say, cut number 12.
They want to bring chaos. They want to bring division. What they want to do is delegitimize. And this is something that is not good for the country. This is the type of behavior that is going to just continue to foster harsh attitudes and hateful rhetoric. And it is time to bring this to an end.
Yeah, that was Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Well, God bless Marsha Blackburn. I'm a fan of hers, but that's wishful thinking right there. Because I mean, I wish her words would be heeded. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you remember, we're dealing with a party here that was it 2 years ago, where Maxine Waters says we need to confront administration officials at the grocery store, at the soccer field, at the gas station.
Surround them,
right?
Push back,
shame them,
right?
Yeah, push back. Do you remember that, Ray?
Right, in the restaurants, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
and it happened.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So that's the kind of, you know, that's kind of if you're wanting to get back to civility, you know, that's
good luck.
Good luck with that one. Yeah. But you know, Senator Blackburn, there trying her best to, you know, I do think, I don't know how to express this exactly, except to say, our country is in a I don't ever remember in my lifetime it being so poisonous, mm-hmm. so contentious, I guess you could say, between people and between especially between the parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. And every it seemed like every day that passes, something else happens to ramp things up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty bad in the mid to late 60s.
Was it
68? It was pretty bad. There were actually a lot more domestic terrorist bombings in 68, 67 in that area. Black Panthers, the Weather Underground, and some of these groups. It was bad. I have no idea whether it's this bad in terms of Washington D.C., which is to your point. In terms of the two parties, I think the two parties were certainly more civil towards each other in the 60s. But in terms of division amongst the people, it was pretty bad then.
Well, go ahead, Ray.
I think one thing that's changed is the rise of the internet, the 24-hour news cycle, and social media, so that when somebody says something, you know, back in that day, 50 years ago, it would take 24 hours for a word to get spread around the country.
Right.
But now somebody says something, the opposition replies in real time on social media,
yeah,
on the internet, and you go
good
from
point.
0 to 120 in a millisecond.
That's a really good
changed.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, and any apology or please forgive me is seen as a sign of
right.
You know,
right.
Then you can go for the jugular.
Plus, I think to Ray's point, we've talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about this on the air, Tim, but we've talked about it, I know, just in discussions around the building, is you read about any story, about any subject, and you go to the comments section, and three comments down, it's now about, you know, Trump versus whatever. And that people are insulting each other.
It could be a recipe.
It could be a recipe.
A recipe on fried chicken, and three down is,
yeah,
talking about, I bet you like Trump's fried chicken, don't you?
That's right. So everybody's feelings are already jacked up, you know, because you're reading stuff and you're constantly stirred up. So that I think probably contributes to hostility. Everyone's, you know, if it's 0 is perfectly calm, 10 is completely, you know, mind-blowingly angry. Everyone's already, you almost get up at a 6 or in a 7, and it goes up
right,
from
and
there.
Go from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not blaming Trump for the chaos. I mean, I think the chaos and the rottenness of Washington has always been there. But what happened, you had Donald Trump come along and expose it.
Yeah.
And saying he's going to deal with it and stop it. And that... Washington didn't like that.
Right.
The Democrats, the mainstream media, the lobbyists, they didn't like that. And to that point, this morning on Fox and Friends, Fox's legal analyst, Greg Jarrett, he is out with a new book called Witch Hunt.
Witch Hunt.
It's being released today. And he kind of course, he's teasing to sell his book, so put that in that framework. But he said, amongst the examples he gives, he said Rod Rosenstein, the former, deputy attorney general, was retaliating against President Trump by appointing Robert Mueller. All right, so this goes back a few years. But this was, I'm going to get you back moment for Rod Rosenstein, according to Greg Jarrett. This is cut number three.
Rosenstein appointed Bob Mueller in an act of vengeance against Trump, not based on evidence, not based on the law. Rosenstein had written the memo recommending the firing of James Comey, yep. And he didn't expect the stinging criticism he received. Rosenstein blamed Trump, so in a fit of anger, he was overwrought and emotional. He decided he was going to retaliate against Trump and appoint Bob Mueller. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when confronted about what he'd done, he was hiding behind his desk and blubbered, "Am I going to get fired?" Quintessential Rod Rosenstein.
This book sounds fascinating. One more example, and I want you guys to comment on this. In this book, he says Mueller admitted in a meeting with Trump lawyers, and I think this was in January 2018, that he wanted to keep the inquiry going, even though at that point Mueller told the lawyers, "We already think that Trump did nothing wrong." So this is cut number four.
The pivotal meeting took place a year before the Mueller report, March 5th, 2018. An angry confrontation ensued between Trump's lawyers and Bob Mueller and several members of his team of partisan prosecutors. And Mueller admitted there was no evidence of criminal collusion. And Trump's lawyers were incensed. "Why haven't you stopped this nonsense?" And Mueller's response was, "Well, I want to question the president about obstruction because he's been criticizing us as if that's obstruction of justice." And he said, "I'm going to go to a federal judge and force the president to answer questions." At that point in time, John Dowd, one of the Trump's lawyers, pounds his fist on the table and says, "Go ahead. You've got nothing. Go ahead and try. You don't have a leg to stand on." Tensions in the room rose, and another lawyer stepped in and subdued the situation.
Wow.
Chapter three.
Yes. This is Greg Jarrett. So this is his new book, Witch Hunt. Yes.
Now this is what he said. This is what Greg Jarrett says, who's a highly respected author and legal analyst on Fox News. This is his account. He's basing this on people he know who was in the room.
People in the room.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it just goes to what President Trump has been saying. This huge campaign to get rid of him. I mean, Hillary Clinton's still saying he's an illegitimate president.
Yeah.
She's still out there talking that way.
I do think what's happened is the difference is between previous times in our country's history when Republicans have been in the White House, for example, and Democrats have controlled the Congress, or at least one branch of it. There's always been attacks on, and, you know, President Obama got his share, too. When you're president, you have a lot of incoming. But what happened was, in the past, like, for example, with George W. Bush, he and his administration basically just took it, okay? They just took the blows, they took the grenades, and they just went on with the next day. And you know what I'm saying? And there's wisdom to that sometimes. You know, certainly there is. And not letting everything bog you down or bother you. But so the attacks against George W. Bush were not always successful by the left because he didn't retaliate. Okay?
Right.
Now, with President Trump, he's going to retaliate. I don't care if you're a B actor.
Right.
Huh?
If you're the guy selling hot dogs out of a cart on the corner.
You could be a senator in his own party, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's going to react because he has that Twitter, and he's reading something, and boom, there it goes. So now that's just part of his fight, and that's the – but he does fight back against the people that the Bush administration may not have chosen to fight back against.
Right.
And so because of that, it just ramps up the animosity on each side. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I, again, I'm not saying President Trump's we all have our opinion of what he does right and what he does wrong, those of us who are generally supporters
right.
of his, and I voted for him. But, you know, not every day I go, well, that's, you know, I don't approve of everything he does,
right.
or everything he says. I think sometimes he hurts himself. I'm just saying that I think that's what's ramped up to up. Bush, Trump is a street fighter, as you've called him, Ed,
yeah.
from New York, and he's gonna fire back. Go ahead.
Well, and let me just we're kind of talking about why the Democratic Party, the hostility. And I was just thinking about this a few minutes ago, so I looked this up. This is from 2018. This is right about a year ago, October 9, 2018. Hillary Clinton, this is just before the 2018 midterm elections. Hillary Clinton is being interviewed by CNN's Christiane Amanpour, and she says this: you cannot be civil with a political party, talking about the Republicans, you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength. So to me, that lays out the Democratic Party's mindset, or at least the far left's mindset, and that is we think Republicans, Donald Trump being the worst one of the party, we think Republicans want to destroy what we stand for, what we care about. Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to be civil with that kind of party. The only time we can be civil is if we have power,
yeah.
and then we can do what we want,
mm-hmm.
and we can deal with the Republicans then.
Yep.
That's the mindset.
Mm-hmm. So it's not only President Trump's personality, as you pointed out, Tim. It's his agenda. His agenda is 180 degrees to where Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton wanted to take this country. Barack Obama, you know, we keep repeating his theme from 2008, change the country, change the world. Donald Trump comes along and says, no, I want to make America great again. In other words, I want to take America back
right.
to pre-Obama days.
Yes.
And that's what upset them.
And those are fighting words.
Yes.
Well, the only thing I want to add here is that I think President Trump not only is good at it, but I think he enjoys it. He enjoys the gift. Like this thing yesterday, the great and unmatched wisdom. He's just trolling the left. He's doing things like that just to drive them nuts, which is what a great street fighter does. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's very – we've never had a president do anything like this. Well, we've never had a president use Twitter before either. So he's broken the rules all the way across the board, and I think he's having the time of his life.
You know what he's like? He's like the New York City guy who's at a formal dinner where everyone's been playing by the rules.
Right.
Every time they have this dinner, and he rolls his shirt sleeves up, eats with the wrong fork, you know, spits out the bones on the plate while everyone else has got their pinky up, and everyone's yep. aghast at what he's doing. They're saying, how can we have this guy? And you can't get rid of him because he owns the restaurant.
Right.
How's that?
Good analogy.
How's that for an analogy?
That.
There
that works. Go.
That's right.
I like that word.
He belches. He right. belches after right. he takes a sip. He says, hey, toss me a piece of, toss me a roll.
Right. So he can drive on the greens if he wants to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the
swamp where both Democrats and Republicans have played by the rules, holding up right. your pinky and using right. the salad fork. They right. just don't know what to do with this
right.
guy.
Right. All right. We will return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Your first ministerial commitment is to your family. And of course, I understand that what we do to generate an income is critically important, but it's not more important than what we do in our homes with our family.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our tour of the Holy Land in March, one of the places we'll stop is called the House of Caiaphas. This is the place where Jesus experienced the mock trial in front of the Sanhedrin that you read about in the Bible before he was taken to Pilate. He was actually held there in that house. We go there. We visit there. We see where that was. And then right beside the house are steps that date back to the time of Christ. They're stone steps that date back to the time of Christ. Those were the very steps that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane as he was brought to this mock trial at the House of Caiaphas. That's just one of the places we'll visit in March on our Holy Land tour. For all the information on this March 12th through the 20th trip, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
There is a new rule in public schools in Appleton, Wisconsin. Anyone who delivers a speech at an event hosted by the school district must turn in that speech in advance and then swear under oath they will not deviate from the government-approved speech, an oath sworn under penalty of law. The new policy came about after a school board member invoked the name of Jesus Christ during his speech at a graduation ceremony. The school district also banned speakers from wearing any clothing or jewelry that might communicate a message to the audience. So I'm wondering about this oath. Are they going to make people swear on a copy of the Bible or a copy of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals? Free speech is under attack, folks. Every freedom-loving American should be appalled. You know, it's hard to believe that a kid in Appleton, Wisconsin might get hauled off the stage simply for uttering the name of God. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard, and we thank you for listening to this program. You can send us an email if you'd like to at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Sandy Rios joins us most Tuesdays, and she's on with us today. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, so which is heard 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. Each weekday morning, as Sandy again represents our organization in Washington, D.C. Sandy, good morning.
I'm sorry. I've never done this before, and I forget to turn the button on when it's time for me to talk, you know. Just getting used to it, Tim.
Oh.
Sorry.
How many years you been in radio?
Oh, a few. Long enough to know to push the button.
Yeah. Okay. We all can fail the basics sometimes.
Yes, I know. I know.
Hey, last Friday you had on a, would you call it a Google whistleblower?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, a real live, honest-to-goodness whistleblower.
Okay, do we want to play this clip now, Fred, yeah, or after Sandy talks?
Well, to introduce us. Yeah, to help set it up.
Okay, Fred took a clip from the show, and we can play that and then come back and talk to Sandy about it, right?
His name is Zachary Voorhees.
Voorhees. Right.
And he was talking about Google accumulating massive amounts of information about us. Cut number 5.
They're trying to create a control grid that captures all the information, video, audio, wherever you're at, streams it back to to a centralized data repository, and then this godlike AI is able to figure out what it is that you're doing, who you're associating with, and create a shadow Facebook profile that you don't know exists, but exists for them. And they're able to monitor everything that you're able to do, your real-time information, who your friends are, who your family members are, everything. This is what China wants to do. They're trying to install the Chinese social credit system so that everything that you do is monitored, and then if you start doing anti-government activities, then you become unpersoned online. You have your social media accounts suppressed. Your financial instruments start to be canceled. You can no longer take money online.
Okay, so Sandy, tell us.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, Sandy?
Yeah. Nothing. I can't even find the button. How would I know what's wrong with that? No, actually, that was probably one of the most stunning interviews I've done in recent times. Zach worked for Google for 8.5 years, and he was a systems engineer working on Google Earth and also on YouTube, which is owned by Google. And as he started seeing things develop, he just got so alarmed, and he was not a conservative by any means. After the 2016 election, he said that's when everything changed. He said before that, their motto was that they were going to be like a national billboard where everyone can post something and you can read what you want to read, but that they didn't really weigh in unless something was obscene or dangerous or death threat or whatever, but people could just say what they wanted to say. It was an open space. But after 2016, it became really apparent to him that Google was throwing away their neutrality, and they were actually deciding, and in many public ways, that they were going to make sure that President Trump, for one thing, would never win the election again. And that started a whole process of things which I can talk about, of control, suppression, and even worse than just our national interests is their cooperation with China. They had were entering into an agreement with the American military on Google Earth to sort of map the world for the American military for our defense. And Google, according to Zach, ginned up dissension within the ranks. And so they called themselves conscientious objectors, and they were able to stop Google and have them break their contract with the military. And then shortly after that, Google starts working with the Chinese military to do that and more. And that gets into the social score that you heard him mention in that little bit of our interview just a second ago. Now, let me just say a couple of things about Zach, because this is interesting. He told me that, I don't know if he said this on the air, but he told me that he was completely oblivious to what Google was actually doing until he had a Russian girlfriend who knew about, you know, she had a lot of knowledge of how communism works and suppression, and she kept telling him, this is what's happening, and he said he didn't believe her. And then he began to see all of these things. He went in and collected like 900 pages of data. He came out publicly, not by name, but with his voice garbled and his face covered with James O'Keefe a couple of months ago. And I talked about it then, but now he's coming out, giving his name. He's had to leave San Francisco. He fears for his life. There's a lot more to say, but that kind of gives you an idea of the kind of interview it was and the content.
Sandy, would you say, if you wanted to put this in a couple of short sentences, it is the goal of social media, huge operations like Google, to control a narrative, political, commercial, whatever the case may be, according to a very biased left-wing ideology. Is that going too far?
No, not at all. And that's exactly, he mentioned, if you didn't catch the words, he described their god-like AI. That's artificial intelligence. They're developing a godlike artificial intelligence, and they're using this in China already and creating what they call the social score, which is where we're headed here. And the social score is that you, Tim, you get a bad mark because you are a Christian. And you, Tim, you get a bad mark because you're a white male. And you, Tim, get a bad mark because you spoke out against, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi. I'm using hyperbole, but this... these, you get these black marks, and then what happens is you are prevented from doing business. Your accounts can be blocked. Your children can be prevented from getting into schools and universities. This is where we're headed. And it's not a hint. This is a major push. Google, by the way, according to Zach, has in many of the areas been infiltrated. Infiltrated is not the right word, because willingly has welcomed Chinese nationals who are now making decisions on behalf of this American-based company for us.
Yeah.
So this is not headed in a good place, Tim. Very dangerous.
Right. So Sandy, as we're heading up to the 2020 election, is it too much to say that Google wants to do whatever they can to make sure Donald Trump is not reelected? And is it possible? Is there some scenario in which they could actually use their power to, say, change, influence enough voters in Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Ohio to actually change the results of an American presidential election? I guess what I'm asking, is this fantasy or could it actually happen?
Oh, no. I could give you two reasons why it's not fantasy at all. I wish I could think of his name, but there's a professor who recently testified on Capitol Hill, Fred might remember his name, who has been tracking this. He was a Hillary Clinton supporter, and he claims that Google actually cost Donald Trump, I think, something like $2 million, 2 million votes in 2016. And he maps out the reasons. And I will tell you how I understand this based on my conversations with Zach. What they are doing is managing what you see in at least two different ways. If, for instance, you type in a search, they are managing the search in this way. We used to think that if we entered, I'll give you an example that Zach used, men can. Normally we'd say men can wear pants, men can smoke pipes, you know, men, whatever. But what the most people in the world are saying that men can do. And so now if you enter men can, it says men can get pregnant, men can have menstrual periods, men can. So they are changing the results to suit what they want you to think. And they call it machine learning fairness. So the way they justify it is, and they say this, the truth is not fair. I mean, for instance, if you Google Fortune 500 executives or CEOs, it's almost all white men. And that's just a fact. But they change the results so that it's minorities and women, even though that's not reality, because it's not fair. So they are controlling the information. And let me give you a real concrete example now. 2 years ago, the Las Vegas shooting took place. I think it's the largest mass shooting in the country ever. 500 people injured, wounded, and I think, I don't know, I can't remember the exact number, 20, 60, something like that, people killed. And Google got very involved in that, according to Zach. They wanted to purge every single piece of information that came out about the shooter, about there being potentially more than one shooter, about the shooter's involvement with Hillary Clinton or anyone on the left, and they diligently purged that from the search every day. He told me they're purging stories every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time zone, but he did tell me that. They are managing the content that people see. So how does that affect us? Well, 2 years after the shooting in Las Vegas, what do you know about the shooter? What do you know about his motives? What do you know about exactly what happened? Well, the truth is nobody knows, because it has been completely, basically wiped from the search engines. So if you think they can't control, you know, they do control what we think by not allowing us to see everything. Now, if you have an exact website or, you know, HTTP address, I think you can still access it. But most people don't have that. So it's very, very dangerous. And this professor that testified recently says that they absolutely can steal this next election. No question about it. Because they're controlling the information getting to us.
You know, I was looking at, I just typed in American Family Association and on Google, and the third link that pops up is the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the third link.
Yeah. Now let me, which is a group in Montgomery, Alabama, we've talked about many times before, which calls everybody a hate group.
Well, calls AFA a hate group. I work with number one on their list.
Yeah, we're right up there at the top. But let me type in Southern Poverty. I don't even know what I'm going to get. Southern Poverty Law Center jobs. Okay, let's see. I just want to see if our criticisms of the SPLC rank as highly as theirs does of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Going down here, there's a critical article by Politico magazine. And another one, but that's because they've been involved in scandal. The SPLC has.
You know, it'd be interesting to Google Zach Vorhees.
Yeah, I'll do that. You got.
Using DuckDuckGo, so I can't. Yeah, I can't check for you, but somebody should check that.
Okay, you got it.
How do you spell the last name?
Vorhees.
What I'm saying is, somebody put the SPLC's criticisms of us. Where it's the third thing you see when you type in American Family Association, mm-hmm. because somebody at Google believes we're a hate group, but maybe they can't ban us or don't want to ban us because that might draw attention to them unnecessarily. But they want to make sure that the SPLC, critique, if you will, or analysis of us as a hate group gets seen by everybody who, you know, types in American Family Association. What do you got?
Okay, so I've got Zach's Twitter account pops up first.
What does it say? What's his handle? His Twitter handle.
At Perpetual Maniac.
Yep, that's right.
All right, then Project Veritas, Google Machine Learning Fairness Whistleblower goes public. Then Corey's Digs interview, Google Whistleblower Zach Vorhees. Then The Daily Beast, LinkedIn, Gizmodo. So he's up. He is up on Google. I don't know if these are the largest search results or not.
Yeah. No, that's that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now let me just tell you that Zach has 950 at least pages of documents detailing the plans of the powers that be at Google and how they really feel about this and what they are really trying to do. This isn't speculation on his part. And so it may be an uneven. This is where they're going, though.
And you can download. You can download that from Project Veritas. It says download the 950 pages of leaked documents here.
Okay.
So so people can get this and read it. Zach needs to write a book. It sounds like it.
But I'll tell you, but you will notice because I certainly notice it every day when I'm searching for the news that that the conservative sites. They don't come up first. Like if you Google a subject matter, I don't know, the impeachment or whatever, just see what comes up. It'd be interesting to do that and see what comes up, which kind of sites and which stories. But Zach is fascinating. And I would say that interview that we did last Friday was fascinating. And it is available on our Facebook page. People are at AFA, not sure how you do it on the net, but AFA.net, if you just search it, I'm sure you can find that.
But it's on Sandy Rios in the Morning Facebook page.
Yes, for sure. It was last Friday's show.
Yeah.
It was just shocking. And Zach has had to move out of his home. He's actually had to move out of San Francisco because of the harassment. So, so it's just pretty interesting. He's a fascinating person. He used to work in Hollywood on some of I think it was the Lucas films. Brilliant guy. And he told me, he said, you know, I have now read 1984 three times.
Oh, really?
He said, this is exactly, my Russian girlfriend told me this is what's happening, and she was right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's risking he gave up the probably best job on the planet as a systems engineer and has put himself at risk to expose what's happening at Google. So,
all right,
he deserves
Sandy.
Our attention.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Take
care.
You're
very welcome. All right, you guys too. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'd like to learn more about that. Alexa, look that up for me. Research that for me. And please get me an extra Diet Coke for lunch. Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty.
It's pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
I think we would be terrified honestly, if we knew how much companies like Google and Facebook, how much they know about each of us.
You know, what she was talking about earlier is really concerning and disturbing, and some would say scary, and that is this social rating.
Social scoring, yeah.
Or social scoring. Mm. So we are all familiar with our credit ratings, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has one.
Right.
If you've lived and you're an adult, you have a credit rating. If you've ever used, unless you've lived off the grid
or lived off your parents or something.
Or lived off your parents, and your parents have a credit rating.
Yeah.
Right.
But, so what she's talking about is the same type of thing, except you get graded on, whether your view of the environment, mm-hmm. Are you a climate change denier?
Right.
Whether
you are a good citizen.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know who would decide these things, but it's the PC crowd, the woke crowd.
Yeah, and here's the thing. These companies started doing all this for, in their minds, I'm sure, financial reasons.
Yeah.
We want to pitch ads to these people, so we collect all this information. But once the technology's there, the government could do it for whatever reason they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so that's what China's doing. In fact, the accusation was that Google's cooperating with China to help them develop their system so they can have this social credit system. And you think, what are you, amoral? Why would Google do that? Why would they cooperate with China?
In our thinking in this country, we've already headed in that direction.
Right.
And we're codifying ideologies. You know, Baronelle Stutzman.
Yeah.
20 years ago, a Christian florist could say, I love you homosexuals. I'll sell you flowers, but I'm not going to get involved with a legal ceremony.
I'm not going to create something special for you.
For you.
Your marriage.
Right.
So now in this country, if you have that attitude, and Jim Phillips and the Kleins and all these other cases that we've talked about, we're going to punish you for what you believe. For exercising your biblical beliefs, we're going to punish you. It's the same kind of thinking.
Right.
We're going to punish you for what you believe. We're going to punish you for what your value system, because it doesn't line up with the state. I think of those homeschooling parents in Germany back a few years ago. The state came in, they're a homeschooling family, we're going to take your kids from you, we can't have your children being raised in a Christian value environment, we want all kids raised in Germany with state values.
Right. Mm-hmm. They said that.
That's what they said. There was no apology for that.
Right.
So this kind of thinking, it's not just China, it's taking over in the liberal minds that we want to control. We want to control what your kids are learning. Why do you think the homosexual activists, they're okay with crazy people going into libraries and reading with your little children?
Right.
Or in our elementary schools. Remember that case out in California just in the last few years? School board decided we don't have no obligation to tell the parents that we're bringing in cross-dressers to talk to your five-year-old.
Right.
We're not even going to tell you.
Right.
Because we think it's more important that your five-year-old is trained in the thinking that we believe in.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. We're going to definitely have to be on guard against this and do what we can to stop it. Mm-hmm. But we're not the only ones that are concerned about this. There are a lot of people tracking following this. The political bias of these large social media giants has been documented and is in the news daily. Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about is even further, further Orwellian, if you will.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's finish off this hour on something I'm still excited about. What happened in that courtroom in Dallas last week. This is the former police officer for Dallas, Amber Geiger. Now, she was sentenced for 10 years for shooting this young man in his apartment. But what happened when the sentencing was over, still being talked about, the brother of the victim coming up and asking the judge, could he go hug Amber Geiger? Because he wanted her to know that God still loves her and God forgives her. And then the judge, Judge Tammy Kemp, came up and did the same thing. It was a remarkable scene in a courtroom. Well, yesterday, Judge Tammy Kemp made her first interview, did her first interview as to why she did this. She talked, I think it was the Associated Press. Here's a little bit of what she had to say about her reasoning to allow the brother to first go and hug the woman who had just been sentenced, and then why she did the same thing. Cut number one.
What I told her was, Brant John has forgiven you. Please forgive yourself so that you can live a purposeful life when you get out of prison. She asked me if God would forgive her. And I said, yes, I believe he will. He will forgive you. And then she said, well, I don't even have a Bible. I don't know where to begin. I don't have a Bible. And I just said, I'll get you one. I saw someone who was really, really hurting deeply. And if a hug was going to help her, I had to extend love and compassion to her.
That's Judge Tammy Kemp.
What were the criticisms of the judge for doing that? I mean, I know that she was criticized. Has anyone said why they criticized?
Well, there's the atheist group from Wisconsin that has already filed a complaint against her, saying she had no business. She went to her office and got a Bible to give to young Amber Geiger, and then quoted John 3:16 to her to start there.
Now this is post-verdict.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So and this sentencing, post-sentencing.
Post-sentencing, too.
Post-verdict and sentencing. So it's all done and over.
Right.
At that point, they're really, if you will, Ray, they're really private citizens at that point, you know, because the duty, maybe she may have been in her black robe, but her duties as a judge are over. She's now looking at it as a human being. And a Christian, and how can I help this woman who's asking for help? You know, it didn't like she forced anything on her. She didn't sentence her to be baptized.
Right.
You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. She hugged her and gave her a copy of her own Bible and pointed her to John 3:16. It's hard to think of a more Christian thing to do. Mm-hmm. The judge did her job as a judge, and then she came down after everything was over and gave her words of Christian encouragement. I don't know, Ed, can you think of another case where a judge in a case like this has come down?
I can't. And here's the thing that whatever the atheist group was, and you know they're a dime a dozen, it seems like nowadays.
Probably freedom from religion. Is that what it is?
The fact is, if a judge has the right to come down from the bench and say anything at all to someone who's been sentenced, or if the person who's been sentenced said, boy, do you have a good book? I need a good book. And if the judge is allowed to go back to his or her chamber and get a copy of 1984 or the latest John Grisham novel and give it to him, then they're allowed to give a Bible. You can't discriminate just because it's a religious book, and you can't discriminate just because the one giving the hug is a Christian. These atheists have lost their mind. They want to put Christianity especially, but religion in a box all by itself and say you got to keep it inside the four
and
walls
punish,
of the church.
Punish
right.
Any demonstration.
Right. I've
never seen a group so worried about a God that doesn't exist.
Right.
I mean, you give your life to fighting against a God and those who believe him who doesn't even exist.
Well, it's because you think those views are dangerous to society.
Which
shows who the haters are.
A lot of proof for that, isn't there?
Right.
All right, we shall return. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
We'll return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.